I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we are joined by special guest Jude Pearl.
We discuss Leo DiCaprio's girlfriends
and Sydney Sweeney's PR disaster.
Hi, I'm Jude.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
Well, well, well.
Look who the cat dragged in.
If it isn't Judington Purlington. Oh my God.
Melbourne's favourite, beautiful, funny, talented
cabaret
show-stepping
star, comedian, Charlotte. Icon.
What gala.
Say
gala, bitch.
Stop
it. Oh my God. Jude's rider was so intense.
It's huge.
Kicking it off this episode, we had to get a tiger to meet them on entry.
A tiger that only eats ham and cheese croissants.
Yes. Absolute yeah. Melbourne diva is here. Please welcome Jude Pearl.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for the tiger. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. It took out our entire year's budget. But we won't be here next week, but it was worth it.
You'll just have a tiger roaring. Our wonderful Jordan is MIA due
rehearsing.
To being a famous showbiz bitch.
Ugh. Yes. Must be nice.
But we are still here with all the relevant news that you can't get anywhere else unless you're on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Or TikTok or Instagram or any of the apps. We're really like a cesspool of just gutter thoughts.
And the great thing for having like multiple people in this podcast is we have multiple group chats that are different conversations completely. Our conversation on Facebook is not the same as Twitter or Instagram. Do you find that too?
Yeah, with the they each have their own like tone for sure. Yeah. I'm starting to think that each platform exists for a general, like Facebook is boomers.
Yeah.
And like is Twitter.
They're dying.
Yeah, yeah. So, like they had a good run. And then Twitter is like Gen X. I'm just making up. Instagram's millennials. TikTok is Gen
Z. Yeah, yeah. No, oh, definitely. Yeah. TikTok's so intense.
It's a lot. It's really fast. I don't feel that I am evolved. I think this will be for
there's
the
something
next.
In our brains that you have the gene or you don't.
Yeah,
and I don't
have it.
But I think as well as that, it's like as you're getting older, you have to decide which type of technology person you're going to be.
Yes.
Because you know, there's old people, and like I'm using old really loosely, but you know, you meet someone.
25. According to Leo DiCaprio, that we will get into.
Oh my God. But you ever meet someone's parents who have like literally every single gadget you can imagine?
Yes.
And they're just really all over it. And then other people have parents who don't know how to make a call from their iPhone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can go one way or the other.
That's true. And it's inspiring to know that you can be bad at technology at any age and you could possibly be good at it.
At any age.
At any age.
Yeah.
Maybe.
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 I feel like we were talking just recently at a gig about TikTok, I think. Or we were talking about like YouTube and like the idea of how things used to be very like long form.
Yeah.
And that for writers like you and, you know, I put myself in that category as well, that like to write like, you know, an arc or a show that's
love
got
a story.
Like, yeah. Mm. Some kind of narrative to it. it's kind of like, how do I chop this up into a 30-second, you know, like tidbit that is functional for an online presence? And it can be hard.
And also, how can you make it like the first 3 seconds be extremely interesting straight away, which is really hard.
Well, have you heard about, we were talking about this last week on the pod, but the millennial pause? Have you heard about
this? No, what's this?
So basically, it's Gen Z have been roasting us online.
How dare they?
Yeah, honestly, get a job. but they're coming for us because apparently we do this thing in videos where we pause at the start before we start speaking. And it's like a carryover from like Snapchat and bad tech that would delay before it started to record. But now that the tech has caught up, we're just left looking like buffoons.
Oh my God.
and so we have the millennial pause at the start of a video.
It's just as you saying that, I'm just like, it just made me have this feeling of like, I'm never safe.
No.
Everything that I do is because I existed at a certain time and someone will find me out for it.
Well, we're never safe in general.
No.
That's true.
We're constantly evading cancellation on this pod.
Listen.
Hanging by a thread at any given point.
To just come back to Leonardo DiCaprio, I feel like he's been copping it especially hard with this girlfriend. I remember his last girlfriend a few years ago, you know, people were making this joke, but every time he has a relationship with someone that ends once they turn 25, it's just going to be harder and harder.
Yeah.
Poor Leo.
It's so funny. The memes and the graphs. Have you seen the graphs?
People are like doing Excel.
Yeah. The graph actually like made it really sink in for me because like you could see like there was like a flow. It was like each year it would kind of like he'd push it a little bit with the girlfriend that he broke up with. It'd be like 1 year he'd break up with a 21-year-old and then a 22-year-old and 23-year-old. And it's like he's trying.
Aww,
you know, he's really trying. Each time he's like, I'll push it just a little bit further. but, you know, never beyond 25.
Wow. Mm. So is this – I mean, I'm aware of his history, but I don't know about this new person that he's with. Is it like,
I was also seeing a reel about this that broke it down too, that showed every girlfriend he'd had since he was like maybe in his 20s. Oh, and God. When he was 25, his girlfriend was 18, which was the closest age.
Yeah.
and then they were just they're all like obviously stunning. But a lot of them were just blondes. And the most recent one was a brunette. So
justice. Good for him. Good for him.
Justice for brunette.
Diversity.
All shapes and sizes. That's amazing. Someone was saying on Twitter that like he's now reaching the age where the girls that he will be dating won't have even like heard of Titanic. Like they're going to be like, oh, I'm mom, dad, I'm dating this guy who played the old guy in The Revenant or whatever the fuck it's from. It's like so bleak.
If you think about it though, like some people might say Leo, oh, he's always dating younger people because, you know, he's afraid of women who have experience or something like that. But could it be that he's dating younger people because he's like, I don't want to deal with someone who already admires my work. Like I want someone who's never heard of me. So maybe it's actually really honorable if you think about it from that.
I did not expect some Leo DiCaprio defense on this pod, but you heard it here first.
The last thing I will say as well is each year he not only gets older but also less appealing to me. Not only due to the dating history, but also
so you won't be dating Leo DiCaprio, is what you say?
Yeah, no, I will not. I'm A, too old, B, too gay. But also, he's just not that hot anymore.
Yeah,
it truly feels like
he was a babe in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
I give him that.
That was 30 years ago. And it's like, come on now.
It feels like he's. It's like I'm not trying to like criticize someone for aging, but when it's DiCaprio, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of like some people age and it's like, yeah, that looks like someone aging. And then sometimes people age and it's like, is your head just getting larger?
Yeah.
Like I'm not so true.
Your face, like I'm not. This is more of a question than a criticism.
He's becoming progressively more and more like a hexagon.
Oh my God, cancel me. But it's giving Brando.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw, speaking of Brando, in terms of like a secretly gay celebrity, I saw a photo of Leonardo DiCaprio with Bradley Cooper, and they were both like shirtless on a yacht. This was like yesterday. And someone was like, oh, what? So if it's women, they have to be under 25, but his bottoms just have to be 50 plus? Please.
Well, have you heard about yachting? The act of being on a yacht.
No.
Oh.
Okay. So, when you're seeing these like Daily Mail photos of someone like Leo on a yacht with a hot girl or 20, and they're just like these hot girls and models are hanging out and they're actually getting paid for it.
Amazing.
It's actually like
a career.
And
professional yachter.
Like literally. So, you know, these people might be working as models or actors as their career, but they still need to make money on the side because we all know that there's a wage gap. Oh. And or it's just Instagram hotties and they will be on yachts all summer to fuck millionaires on boats.
Wow. Jesus.
And then they leave.
Wow. And have you also heard that apparently Leo has like a manservant or a butler or whatever the term for it is, like entourage person, that like he'll keep the girls that he's sleeping with like sitting in like the waiting room or like the lounge of the yacht or whatever. And then he'll get his like manservant to go and tell them like Leo is ready for you now. And
with
then
the
like
NDA.
Take her up to the bedroom.
It's so sad because I guess a lot of the spontaneity gets lost once you get to that level of celebrity. Yeah. And normal people like us will just never have to think about that because when you're Leonardo DiCaprio, you can't just hook up with someone in a bathroom stall.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could
on your yacht.
So we, that's
not at Circuit.
I just feel like we can never understand how hard it is for Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah. You've got a lot of defense for Leo DiCaprio. I think it struck a nerve with Jude.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and let you criticize.
And that was Jude Pearl. We're going to wrap it there.
It's not like he's listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
Maybe his manservant is. No.
So
maybe
true.
Like he's filters just, his shit.
Well, he's just bored in the waiting room and needs something to listen to. So. He's like, it might as well be this film.
Yeah.
I just want to say I've never seen Titanic. Because
I grew up without a TV, a Jehovah's Witness in the country in Germany, and I saw Titanic. Did you not see Titanic? I'm dying.
I made like a conscious, because like Leo was like someone that, my sister's 6 years older than me, and she was like
obsessed.
Of the age, like she was the right age when Romeo and Juliet came out and was upset. And so anything that she liked, I was like, ew. She liked Friends, ew. She liked Leo, ew.
Yeah.
She liked Alanis Morissette, ew. And now I'm like, no, she was right about that. But
she was right about Friends. I mean, you were right to hate Friends.
I just was like, 3 hours of people drowning. No thanks.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it.
But there's some fucking and jury and stuff.
Yeah. and I don't even know if I like it, but I watch it all the time. It's
really?
That kind of movie where it's like, it just feels like catharsis somehow. I don't know.
Okay, I've only seen it that one time.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just very like, if it's on TV, I will always watch it.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just,
yeah.
I mean, what's the name of the guy that's in it that's not Leo, the other guy, the Phantom? What's his name? The other actor?
Like, is he the villain in it? Like,
the guy that the girl is supposed to marry?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have no idea. Yeah,
he was
sorry to this man.
He was in Zoolander as himself. I don't know why this is important to me that I remember.
David Bowie.
No. He's like,
okay,
you know,
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane.
Ah,
he's like, listen to Billy Zane. You know, in Zoolander. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's very relevant. I would like much more be on board Billy Zane than Leo.
True. Yeah. It was an imbalanced film.
Yeah. It took a really long time for me just to say I think Billy Zane is. I'm more interested in Billy Zane than Leo. I just don't know if all of that was worth it. You can cut this if you don't need it. It's a lot
of work. Oh, that is funny. I also wanted to ask as well, this week you've been doing a revamp of your very first show. How's it been going?
It's like, it's been like very fun, but also it's really seemed like a good idea. I was like, oh my God, I'll do my first ever show that I wrote in 2015. There's not like there's been any major cultural events in the entire world that have happened since then that would have made my material age extremely fast. But I was like, it seemed like a really good idea. But as I'm doing some of it, I'm like, the cringe muscles in me are various, but it is nice to know that I've improved since then. So it's been fun. But
have you like stumbled on parts that you're like, oh wow, this really doesn't work right now? Or like,
I left those parts out.
Yeah, great.
There's about 25% of the show that I'm like, you know, I don't reckon anyone needs to hear this ever again.
Some kind of like pre-pandemic, like, what are they going to do? Lock us down?
There's just a lot of really kind of, just a lot of stuff about like sex stuff that's very like clearly written by someone who's only just been having sex for like, and it's kind of so exciting to me at the time. Yeah. I was like, I can't wait to tell everyone about my crazy sex experiences. Yeah. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, that's just having sex. It's not that interesting.
Yeah. I've been noticing that like, cause I've just kind of recently started to think about my show at Comedy Festival for next year. Yeah, it's fucking brutal.
How dare you?
The fucking Moosehead sending out there like applications are now open. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm not ready to process this.
I felt so attacked.
Not even September. It is September. It'll be September by this episode coming out, whatever. But I've been thinking that like, I feel like my earlier shows were very much like, as you were saying, like I had like something kind of like hot and spicy that I wanted to say, you know, and all that kind of thing. Whereas now it's just kind of like, I just want to talk shit about like very like humdrum shit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, because that's what I find funny. Like little bizarre encounters that like I'll have at work or something like that. I'm like, this tickles me a lot more.
Than
being like, I'm fucking.
High-fiving the whole fuck, right? Like, yes. Yeah, I'm the same. I'm like, I'm so much more interested in the human stomach now. Like, that's like the mysteries of the human stomach are so much more like just, you know, cosmic and exciting to me than the mysteries of sex. I'm just like.
So you're doing like Digestion, the musical.
I also think like as a society, we have become more comfortable with sex.
Yeah.
Like in 2015,
that's a good point.
Instagram wasn't full of sex toy ads like it is now.
True.
Like literally every month someone's like, oh, can we send you a sex toy? No.
Yeah, stop sending them.
can I go one day?
Like using them as like doorstops and like coffee coasters.
I can't. It's too much. Well, now it's like, oh, I have IBS. And people are like, wow, you're so brave.
That's so true. Because, it is like I feel like my feed is just so much about like very sexually liberated people. And it's like, it is nice. But like every now and then I'm like, I wish people were just talking about their stools a little more, just a little bit more, you know?
And I kind of like, don't get me wrong, don't cancel me, but I love like, you know, Wear It Purple Day and International Day Against Homophobia and all that kind of stuff. It obviously serves a purpose.
I love where
the
this
communities
is going.
That need it. It is amazing. Please don't cancel me.
Cancelled.
But there is something so funny to me about like this microcosm of like very leftist, progressive performer types that I already follow online, then like posting about like, I'm here and I'm bisexual and I'm visible. It's like, every single person that I follow is bisexual. Every single person is visible every single day of the year doing queer as shit on my feed. You know, like it's just a bit funny. And it's nice, I guess, that like we're getting to the point where that can be the case.
Yeah,
it's nice to be at the point where I'm like, we're bored of it. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you're so visible.
Yeah. Somebody come out as straight, please.
Shake things up a little. speaking of stuff on the feed, did you guys see this week that Sydney Sweeney put up a photo reel, like a carousel on her Instagram? This is, for those who might not know, she's one of the lead actors in Euphoria. Very beautiful, blonde.
All American,
kind of wholesome thing, or so it seemed. Uh-oh. Until she put up this carousel of her with her family for her mum's 60th. But all of her like older, middle American like relatives are wearing like Make America Great Again, Trump,
But actually, those hats said make 60 great again, but they were red.
Oh.
So people thought they were Make America Great Again hats, but they were actually themed for the birthday. But the fact that they went with red hats with white writing that said Make 60 Great Again kind of already tells us that they would have worn MAGA hats anyway.
Yes.
Because no liberal would do that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm talking liberal in the US.
Yes.
And then yeah. Sydney Sweeney kind of like, because there was all this scandal, everyone being like, what the fuck? Like yet another like, you know, white, like very wealthy actor being like, oh, you know, I've got these like conservative relatives, and like just the sort of like delusion and the lack of like forethought to just be like, maybe this would not vibe well with your very progressive follower ship.
And then also one of her uncles or maybe her dad wearing a Blue Lives Matter shirt. Yeah. I think that was real. Yeah, yeah, that was really like a bad move because it's so recognizable. With if it was only the hats, I think she might have almost gotten away with it.
Mm. Yeah.
But even then, it's like, I mean,
it's like, where's your PR? Like, what are you doing? I can't. Like, she came back because people were just roasting her online, being like, what the fuck are you doing? This is mess. And then she put up this tweet that was like, guys, we were just trying to have a wholesome 60th celebration. Please stop the assumptions. It's like, it's not an assumption. He's literally wearing a Blue Lives Matter. Like, you took the photo, you put it up online.
Yeah.
And then, like, people are, like, sharing the funniest shit. Like, there was this image that was like, Sydney Sweeney did 9/11.
Well, that's like the funny thing now that it is kind of getting blown out of proportion, the question of how responsible are you for your family? And I mean, obviously not at all. She can't change the fact that that's her family, but I don't know, like don't post that shit.
Yeah.
Or like, get your personal assistant to Photoshop it.
Yeah.
Like do a Kim K. Yeah. Like if that had happened to the Kardashians, they would have Photoshopped the Blue Lives Matter into a Black Lives Matter shirt.
Yeah. Well, did you see Kim this week Photoshopped that photo of her in the pool?
Yeah,
of
her, what do you call it?
Like her like trapezoid muscle or whatever.
Okay.
Like that. I'm not a scientist, but the sort of like the stretchy bit that comes down under your ear to sort of like your shoulder.
Oh yeah.
She made it so that it was like cartoonishly like indented.
It was so smooth. It looked like a water slide. So instead of there being like any sort of muscle there, it was just smooth. And then they Photoshopped it back so you could see all the little things. And she has been notorious for even Photoshopping her kids to look skinnier.
Oh my God.
So toxic. And also Photoshopping, I think one of her, I'm not sure which sister's kids it was, like one of her nieces or nephews, but she Photoshopped one of them into a photo with one of her kids for a birthday post. Like, so let's say it was North and True, but she wanted to post for... make a post for Stormy, so she Photoshopped out True and put Stormy into the photo. I'm paraphrasing. That's not what happened, but she swapped one of them out.
Can you imagine being the kid looking and be like, "Mummy, cut me out."
We Photoshopped you into this so I could say, "Happy birthday, Stormy. Love you so much." That is just insane.
I find it's so funny.
I think like during, must have been during one of the lockdowns, I watched an episode of the Kardashians and I don't know where it was in the whole
chronology
of the of that saga, but in the episode I think Kim had been asked to host SNL.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they were all like, well, they were all having a family lunch or something and they were all going, well, you're the funny one. And I was like, what's happening? What is this? Yeah. It's like, anyway, I don't understand.
It's intense. That family. I mean, that's where we're at, you know, as a society now. Like,
I feel like families have become such a selling point where there's so many other reality shows in the US of different people and their families. Like, there's this Instagram, YouTube guy called Bretman Rock. I'm obsessed with him, but he has a reality TV show and it's just him and like his sister and his niece, and it's like I watched the snippets on his Instagram, but I'm like, how did they build a whole show around this?
So his sister and his sister's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, and like his friends, and they live in this like big house in Hawaii, which is just hideously furnished. And then he'll just be like, so my chicken just laid an egg. And I think it's on MTV, so that's kind of
wow. Like, wow. I was expecting some kind of like Instagram show, but like
no,
MTV.
No, it's actually on MTV.
It's like I just watched this Simpsons episode like a few days ago that's like probably season 7 era, but it's like the one where Troy McClure, who's like the actor,
yeah,
is like, there's some weird controversy. He's got some obsession with fish or something, like some that everyone's like, he's really strange and he doesn't get cast in anything. And then he like marries Selma, Marge's sister. And it's like, that helps him get all these roles. So anyway, again, Simpsons predicted that having a family would make you more
Simpsons is
famous.
So on top of it.
Absolutely. Well, just between us, my agent was like, since you got married, so many people want to hire you. Wow. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know if this is good or bad. Yeah.
I will take the money, but I'm so confused.
Also, I don't know, is it homophobic?
Yeah.
No, it's not, but like it feels gay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels weird.
How strange, is that so odd? Like you're like, thanks?
Yeah. I guess. With the whole like families, like the family model being kind of like monetized and commercialized, I saw this article about one of those, like I think it was like a YouTuber, TikToker family. They definitely didn't have like a TV show on actual TV, but the parents were like full-time influencers and like that's how they made their money. But two of the kids had started wearing "Don't film me, I do not consent" shirts around the house.
How old were they? Do you know?
Oh, like I think they might have been like 12 and 14 or something like that. Wow. And like some of the siblings were okay with it and then some weren't.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. And then they had to, one of the girls like made her own Instagram and had this post being like, I do not consent. I do not want to be a part of this like influencer thing. It's toxic. Like I can't have any time at home without my parents being like, let's film this or like, you know, let's chuck a camera up there. So if you see me in any of those videos, know that I did not consent.
Wow.
All that kind of stuff. And then the parents were like, you're destroying our family business and all this kind of stuff. She's like, you're destroying my childhood. And I was like, this is mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. This needs to be on TV.
Yeah. MTV is like, trouble in the family, you say.
How like awful is that? That it's like the worse things are, the more dollar signs appear.
Yes.
Like, they're like, oh, we want to like
go on Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But like that's a funny thing as well with technology. You don't even need to wait for TV to come to you. You can turn your own life into a TV show.
That's
and,
beautiful.
You know, you can just do it yourself.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's like reminds me of I think we were talking about this the other day where those influencer family as well, and that I don't remember their names, but they had like two of their own kids and then they adopted a kid.
Oh yes. And then they got rid of the kid that they were adopting and they just like soft unlaunched him.
Yeah.
Like they didn't say it. Like they just sort of gave the child back to something.
I remember that.
And then everyone was like, hey, where's your other kid that you had? And then they had to say something. And then she was like, firstly, they were wearing like all white in the video, which was
that's uncomfortable. Yeah.
What's that like cult movie? Midsommar or whatever.
Midsommar. Oh, also 9 Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
Oh,
I haven't seen either of these.
It's just very like cult, like cult-y. Aryan
kind of
vibes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so fucked that thing.
And she was, I just remember her saying like, she was like crying and her husband's like consoling her. And she's like, look, I know it's not about me. It's about him, the child's name. And that, but also it has been really hard for me. And I'm like, wait, hey, come on.
Yeah. You cannot build a business on a relationship.
But the crazy thing is people will follow these people and feel like they're so personally connected to them that they'll excuse it. And they'll be like, no, I feel like... You know, it was just really hard for her. And I mean, adopting a child is no joke. And adoptees have kind of been more vocal on social about the issues behind adoption and how it's actually not this perfect solution we all make it out to be. And how crazy it is as well. And this is like something that is obvious, but it's kind of new to me. Like, I don't know if you know much about the foster system, but if you were to foster a child in your family, you get all the support and money to have this kid in your home. But this money isn't given to the family where the child actually is, that the child is born into or where it belongs.
Yeah.
And if the government gave the money they give to the foster family to the actual family,
maybe they could keep the child.
They could keep the child and that's keep the family really unit together. And I saw it, and because one of my friends shared this adoptee's like information, it just blew my mind. Because before that, I always thought of fostering as this amazing thing, and it still is, because I guess there are people who need it. But we need to think about those things more critically.
That's it's really true. Like, it isn't just this like, oh, just adopt. It's so easy. Like, it's totally like such a complicated situation.
Yeah.
But it's also like, maybe we need to do more screening for like influencers. Absolutely.
There needs to be a box. Are you an influencer? And that's an automatic decline. Like,
no.
You do not, not get taking to this baby.
And the police are on their way.
Oh, that would make such a good TV show.
Like, it would.
Absolutely.
Police, it's like Border Patrol, except it's like baby patrol. Like, you want this child?
Well, now that you're speaking of Border Patrol, because I just came back into the country last week, I was waiting in line to go through biosecurity, because for the first time in my life, I ticked a box where it's like, are you taking any of these items into the country? Because I'd seen on TikTok that these people had gotten these massive fines for bringing in like a half-eaten Subway sandwich.
Oh my God.
Like, somebody
is that
like,
what you had?
I did not. I ate it beforehand. It blew my mind, because all I did was stand in line, and then this woman comes up to me and she's like, so what do you have today? And I was like, I have some tea, I have some cereal, I have some protein powder. And she's like, cool, you're good to go. And they didn't even open my bag, and I was fully...
They didn't even check.
And I was fully expecting to be pulled up to open my bag and to go full into that border.
Yes.
You know that Border Patrol where they're like, oh, you're bringing in pig's feet?
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
My boogie board.
I ate them. But yeah, they don't do anything. So it shook me. Yeah. They just ask you.
You were like, I guess I'm going to have to eat all of my like chocolates and candies and tea. I'm just eating the dry tea.
Were you like disappointed?
I was a little bit because I was also standing in line for an extra 20 minutes to do the right thing and to not get fined, because I couldn't afford
it. It's always the way. And I swear, if you weren't to have ticked it and if you weren't to have done it, then you would have somehow.
Yes. Absolutely.
Ended up
would have pulled me over and been like, what's all this tea?
Yeah. Yeah. What's the tea, hunty?
Like, it's just cinnamon apple tea.
What's the tea in my life? Oh, there's so much going on. God. Another like crazy tea that happened like this week. Did you guys see about that like AFL, the two AFL players that were like sucking dick at like some like boys' night?
Yeah, well, it was actually VFL, I think.
Oh, was it VFL?
Like, it was just like a small club. It wasn't.
I think it was
like
the Glen Waverley Club.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, where's the dignity? Where's the class? Where's the video? You know, like, I need the link ASAP.
Just show us this one little,
that's like gatekeeping.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Don't pixelate that, you know. Give me the raw footage.
It's actually on Pornhub as we speak.
Yeah. Do we know who the players are, or is
I
it
think
like?
So. Well, I don't know. Them.
I mean, as in, I don't know any athletes' names.
Yeah,
one could know.
Exactly. I feel like it's just players who, for Mad Monday, went way too hard.
Yeah, it's a pretty common thing.
Yeah, it's so weird that it's so accepted that neither of them bat an eye when it happened.
I always found it so... Sorry, you go.
I don't really know if I have many thoughts about this, because like, I'm not a footy player.
Yeah.
I'm like, but... And I know that Mad Monday does get crazy, but I feel like in order for both of them to be like, okay, if you lose this, you have to suck dick, and the other one to go... Yeah, I'm going to do that. And the other one to go, yeah, you can suck my dick. Surely that's not the first time it's happened.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, you don't go from like...
I can tell you from like from experience going to an all boys high school where a lot of current AFL players went to school with me, I could not believe, like, it was always this weird double standard where, like, we would be bullied for being gay and just, and we were never like sucking dick and fagging around. We were just, you know, doing choir and succeeding in English, you know, like, we're not harming anyone. But the jocks would, you know, be constantly like dacking each other, pulling each other's pants down, humping each other in the corridors, touching each other's dicks and balls, and sometimes doing that kind of stuff in the locker rooms. And it's like, to them, it's like, haha, we're being funny and ridiculous. Sometimes, like, there were these two guys in my year that were like super jocks that would just like make out like at lunchtime for the gag of it all. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on?
That's
like this, like, pent up sexuality and this sense of like, I don't know, like, it's a well-known fact that, like, male intimacy is so, like, sort of, like, policed compared to, like, female intimacy. And so it's unsurprising that it can kind of, like, bubble up in these strange ways. But, like, something like the AFL, you know, which is so toxic with, like, homophobia in sport and that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. These kind of things, they're funny, but they're also kind of, like, just, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, how you can just, like.
And do you know if any of these boys you went to school with ever came out? Because.
No. Well, there's never been an out AFL player.
Yeah, I heard that. Right. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah,
like, that's sad.
And it's so, like, when you're talking about, like, in school, like, the thing of, you know, guys basically, like, touching each other's junk and being like, oh, boys, we're boys and stuff. It's like the classic, it's the ultimate thing of high school. It's like, it's not what you do, it's who does it. And it's like, oh, cool. When you guys make out, it's fine.
Yeah.
But when I'm over here being who I am, it's fuck you, high school.
Yeah. When I'm putting on a subtle lash for the year 11 musical, oh, now I'm a gay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I see how it is.
But you can make out every lunch period it's fine.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a gag.
It's like, how do you, because again, I'm also don't feel like I have any right to say anything about sport because I know so little about it. But it's like, how do we get to that point where it's like, it's all right. It's, you can enjoy touching each other on the ass and it's like.
Just let us also enjoy watching it.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Like, it doesn't, there's no law that says you can't be gay and athletic.
We learn to run really fast from bullies.
And also, isn't the whole, like, where the Olympics came from, isn't that a very, like, male erotic
kind of. Yeah, that was one of the original sports, sucking dick. Gold medal Olympian.
Charlie Lewis.
There's like all the different, like, there's speed and there's depth and you get marked on like eight different.
And then there's like
things.
Synchronized bukkake and like all sorts of beautiful sports.
Bring back the original Olympics. Yeah, that's
where all naked too, right?
Yeah, well, they would have been. Yeah. They actually had in the original Olympics as well, like arts as well. There was like poetry and like songwriting and this kind of stuff.
Whoa.
Can you imagine? It'd just be like Eurovision.
I'm like, don't bring that back.
Yeah.
I don't need any more pressure as an artist.
True. To compete.
Yes,
yeah.
Pete, yeah.
But I sometimes do think that, I don't know, like that maybe the art world in general could benefit from a little bit of the sport.
Yes.
Like, maybe we do need to just compete with each other. Just meet, like, guys, you know what? It's every man for himself now.
Yes.
But that's why there's those TV shows, like, you know, the glass blowing one on Netflix. Have you seen that?
Oh, I've passed it by.
Yeah, I like watched a few episodes and I was like, oh. But also the makeup one.
I love Glow Up.
Oh, Glow Up. I'm watching Glow it at the moment. Back.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get into it.
It's so ridiculous with Glow Up as well. Have you watched any of Glow Up on Netflix?
I don't think so, no.
The makeup is either the most beautiful, intricate thing you've ever seen or the most hideous, like, child's finger painting. There is no in between. And like, but the professional makeup artists that are, like, judging it will treat those two as the same. And it's like, am I taking crazy pills? Like, what's going on here?
I hate that. That makes me so mad. I haven't even seen the show and I'm so mad right now.
It will enrage you. Highly recommend.
It's so good. And I feel like UK television is my favorite. Yeah. Like just the accents and the humor and the ding dong.
Yeah.
the judge.
Well, the bing bang bong.
The bing bang bong. Speaking of reality TV and soft unlaunching, which we briefly touched on last week, there has been news about our friend of the show, Conrad and Abby.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right. It was a soft unlaunching. And
we called it here.
It's complete.
Yeah. They're we may have over. Caused the breakup.
We caused
they
it.
They heard our pod and they were like, you know what? We are on the way out. Yeah, let's end
they're
it.
Like, okay, I'm busy.
Hot case, I've decided.
You don't realize the power that you have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you single-handedly have defended Leo DiCaprio for the next decade. Jude, please, Leo, date younger. Oh, my God. Did you guys see as well this week the trailer for the Weird Al Yankovic movie, the biopic came out with Daniel Radcliffe?
I have not seen the trailer. Is it good?
Oh yeah, I haven't seen the trailer either, but I'm like, Daniel Radcliffe?
Yes.
Really?
I mean, I feel like it's a good casting until I realized that in the trailer they've kept Weird Al's voice in the songs. So like Dan is playing him and it's like Dan's voice when it's acting, but then it shifts in song to Weird Al Yankovic.
Right.
And it just seems really odd.
Yeah.
And like I was watching the trailer with my boyfriend, and at the start it was like very clearly camp and tongue-in-cheek because I was like, why are we making a biopic about Weird Al Yankovic? This is so bizarre.
Isn't he still alive?
He's still alive.
He's still doing stuff.
Yeah, he also didn't peak that high. I don't know. It just feels like a very odd biopic. So I was like, hopefully this is at least camp. And the trailer was like that, but then it did that thing where like 2/3 into the trailer, the music shifted and it started to become sincere. And then it was like him being like, you know, people just think that I'm a freak and people don't understand my art. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not here for this. I do not need some kind of like rags to riches, like the arduous journey of being a parody songwriter.
I'm assuming that like the series, cause like, do you know about his parents, right? Weird Al.
No, I don't know anything.
His parents like died in a fire and like that night, the night that they died, he went and did a show and he was like, I think he sort of said, I thought that maybe doing the show would get my mind off of it. So I'm assuming that
oh
is
God.
Going to, sorry to spoil.
Oh my God. Now I feel horrendous.
How dare you?
Like, oh, he's really not all that.
Like, fuck and this it's man. Like,
I didn't mean to make you feel canceled. Yeah. I just meant that, I'm assuming that
no, well,
that
you've done it now. So.
Yeah. Well, damn, just done.
Also, like, there's so many things about Weird Al that nobody knows because I don't remember the last parody song that he's made that's blown up since he did like a Miley Cyrus one, I think.
I think, I mean, he definitely was like the OG and the original person for doing parody songs. But nowadays, like everyone does them, like they're all over TikTok. So I guess he's just not like, he doesn't have a monopoly
anymore. Is he on TikTok?
Anymore.
He needs to come back.
I don't know.
Come back, Weird Al, we need
but
you.
Also, I think he fucked Madonna. I think he had like a fling with Madonna.
Why do I feel sick?
Listen.
Madonna, our queen.
Yeah.
Weird Al.
Listen, I would take Weird Al over Billy Zane.
Because they're the two options.
Yeah.
It's like that tweet that's like, she let me hit because I'm goofy.
Yeah.
I also just, I feel like Weird Al, he did like the parody thing, but he also has like original songs, which I feel are like so much, like I'm more interested in that. Because I'm a songwriter myself. Mm-hmm. I'm very, like the parodies are great, but I just feel like the original songs are so good. And I always wish he just did like a whole, like where he kind of would be, it would be like sometimes making fun of a style of music, but not being like a direct.
It's like a thematic.
Yeah.
Kind of song.
Mm. Yeah. And like, yeah, he's got some amazing, like he's clearly so good at you know, what he does. But yeah, Daniel Radcliffe though, I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know.
I feel like it's kind of
but
good.
Who else would they have cast? Can you think of one other person that you know?
I mean, they could have just cast Weird Al.
Like, yeah, he would have, yeah.
But I feel like Dan is a good choice because he does a lot of like weird roles, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like since Harry Potter, someone on Twitter was like, Daniel Radcliffe was literally like, to his PR agent. You said it to me earlier. Yeah, what was it?
It was like Daniel Radcliffe's agent. Do you want to be in a movie, Daniel Radcliffe? Is it really strange?
Yeah, yeah. Is it fucking weird?
Yeah. Agent, Daniel Radcliffe, yes. Agent, how soon can you be there? Daniel Radcliffe, I'm climbing trees in your yard as we speak.
You know who I think could have been a really good Weird Al? Maybe he's a bit too old, but is his name? What's his name? He plays Jean Ralphio in Parks and Rec.
Oh, Ben I know Schwartz. The guy, yeah.
Ben Schwartz? Is that his name?
Possibly.
Anyway, that's just like one I... You know,
yeah, no, that's actually a pretty good pick. He's got the sort of gangly, yeah, similar nose, similar kind of like energy. Like him and Mona Lisa, that
the pair. Mona yeah, Lisa yeah. Saperstein and Jean Ralphio Saperstein. Oh my God.
Money, please.
Yeah, they're very...
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexa.
It's really addictive, like, once you... Like, to not do that Jean Ralphio, like... you know, like
DJ,
like I can't go very far because I've been tracked by the cops. So you know, like yeah, just whatever he actually says, it's very enjoyable.
They are icons. Another singing icon that made me laugh this week was Lea Michele has finally responded to the rumors that she can't read. Have you heard of this dude?
No.
Okay. So
wait, so Lea Michele's from Glee, right?
Yes.
And she's like the one that everyone was like, she's horrible. And yes. Mean is that
she's toxic, problematic.
Okay.
Told a fellow castmate she would shit in her wig. She's wild.
And not in a fun way.
Yeah.
No.
And she was black, kind of like unlaunched from Hollywood for a while, but has recently just been cast as Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl. And there was all that drama about the Funny Girl casting. You might have seen.
Is this like
talking about it.
Not a film, like the stage
on Broadway? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's currently playing that, but there's also been this rumor circulating for a couple of years now that has just like taken off about Lea Michele not being able to read, and she's never ever responded to it. And there's all these like conspiracy videos about it. People have made like YouTube dissections of like compiling stuff like across decades of like proof that she doesn't actually know how to read. That so her whole time on Glee, Ryan Murphy was like feeding her lines to her and. because she was like, people were saying that because she was like a child actor, on Broadway, she never went to school and like, she wasn't taught to act anyway. To read.
Freudian slip, I think.
But anyway, but her response was, someone was like, can you read or whatever? And then she was like, I just think this whole thing is so ridiculous. You know, and I think, you know, would people be asking a man this of, and all this kind of stuff. And she had this like long response and it was like, you didn't say yes or no.
Answer the question.
Like, answer the question, Lea Michele. Can you read?
And she needs to go along with the joke at this point because it's been so long.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it's, like, how long?
Like, this, years.
Yeah, wow. Oh.
And it just starts to, like,
it's
feed
a joke.
On itself.
It's a joke, Lea. It's not that deep. Like, just play along.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
That'll prove that you can read.
Yeah, and exactly.
And it's, like, nothing more endearing than a celebrity that doesn't take themselves too seriously, which
yeah.
She obviously needs. Does not fall
like she it. Needs it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. If I was her PR, I'd be like, just roll with it. Mm. Take it on brand. It's funny and
we
it's
we should do
cute.
A PR agency.
Yeah.
Popcase PR.
Yeah.
Run your business into the ground.
It's like that, you know that this theory that I feel like it's been around for such a long time about like how Stevie Wonder isn't actually blind.
Yeah.
So like, and like there's, because I think the main proof that people have is there's a video, there must've been some benefit concert and like Paul Simon, like Stevie Wonder's sitting at a keyboard or something and Paul Simon walks past a mic stand and the mic stand, he accidentally knocks a mic stand over and Stevie Wonder like leans over and grabs it. And everyone's like, oh, he can see. And yeah. I was like, I kind of feel like if Stevie Wonder can actually see, I'm actually more impressed that he's been able to keep up that lie.
Yes.
For this entire,
yeah.
I'm like, that's equally as impressive to me that he could play all these instruments and not yeah. be able to see.
I want to believe it. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like he just has spidey senses though.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
he probably like, heard it.
He
yeah.
heard it fall and he just sensed a space and he would have been on the stage beforehand and he mm-hmm. would have known where the mic stand is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree. And also like maybe he's not, we don't know if he's like completely without, like maybe he has a very small amount. Maybe he can see like
yes.
shapes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
a lot of people who are legally blind have some low like amount of vision,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but not enough to, let's say, drive a car.
Yeah.
But they still need their accessibility aids, but they can see something.
And
if you were legally blind, your sense of hearing is going to be so heightened, and like it's your primary, like, you know,
gauge.
Tool. Yeah. Yeah. So like it would make sense that, you know, he would just have like a much more.
And also, given how good he is at music, his ears are probably quite good. On top of that, so true. He is. I would say Stevie Wonder is quite good at music. I don't want to say anything controversial. I think he's extremely
cancel
good.
Me.
Yeah, sorry,
me.
I'm just gonna say it. Stevie Wonder is good.
I think he's
at
got a
music.
Little something, something.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, I think.
I'm
so,
just gonna
yeah.
look it up. Real
he's
quick.
Stevie Wonder is also someone who I'm like, I find so inspiring as a like he's so. Huge into like he's been around for such a long time. I know he's not like Prince level famous,
yeah.
but he's like managed to just never. He seems to have like avoided controversy of like. I mean, maybe there was some stuff in the 70s when he was like young and partying hard. But yeah, I just feel like you never really hear anything about.
So yeah. true. He doesn't seem to have any like skeletons in the closet in the way that other people do.
Yeah,
and it's kind of. Hard as well when somebody like Prince or David Bowie passes, who is so admired and loved, and then all these things come out and you're like, oh, I don't know how to feel now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bit yuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard.
It totally.
It's like that dilemma at the moment with Harry Potter, because the Harry Potter game, Hogwarts Legacy came out, mm-hmm. and it's this like huge budget game that has been developed like, you know, over like 6 or 7 years or something like that. And it's the kind of game that like for years people were like yearning for, this like role-playing game at Hogwarts and this kind of stuff. But with JK being, you know, transphobic TERF monster, it, you know, everyone's like boycott the game. And then people have come back saying, yeah, but JK isn't actually attached to this game.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, but you're still like funding like her universe and it all kind of feeds back on itself. And it's like, how do you, you know, can there be an ethical consumption of this media without, you know, abiding a transphobe? And, you know, the answer is most probably no.
Yeah. And she just wrote another thing, another book, another disgusting piece of shit that nobody's going to read about herself.
Yes.
I want to say like a transphobe who gets cancelled.
Yes.
And it's like, you didn't need to write that. You could just link your Twitter.
Just read all of this bile and yeah.
And the book is apparently, so someone's done like some screenshots of like the pages of the book, and it is like about like Twitter. Like it's like got like tweets like in the book sort of thing.
Wow.
And it's like apparently like 600 pages longer than Dune. Like it's this enormous book.
What?
About like internet trolls destroying this woman. It's so ridiculous.
It is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Who publishes this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't buy J.K. Rowling's new book, but do go and buy Jeanette McCurdy's book, I'm Glad My Mum Died.
Oh, my God. I need to read this
book. Yeah, I really want to get a hard copy of this book. Yeah. It's meant to be amazing. I think the audiobook is already out, but she, you know, goes in on a lot of stuff about Nickelodeon and the goings-on of, like, child acting and also, difficulties with her mum.
The girl from iCarly, for anyone who doesn't remember, who played Sam and also was in a show with Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And all this tea came out about that too. Did you see?
What show was the Ariana Grande one?
Wizards? I want to say Wizards Sam, of Waverly
Well,
Place.
I think then the character Kat, I think, or Sam from iCarly had a spin-off called Sam and Cat, which was Ariana and Jeanette McCurdy.
Right.
But yeah, it sounds like it's a great book. And also she, I think, was approached by Nickelodeon with like some huge amount of like hush money. Like, please don't do this book. Don't do this whole thing. And she turned it down. And like she has this really emotional, beautiful interview where she's talking about like saying no to that. And that she was like, you know, that could have, because she was the primary like breadwinner for her family, which was kind of like part of the problem with this stage mom.
Yeah.
She's saying that like she was thinking, God, that's the kind of money that could put like my nieces through college. Like we could be set for life, but I have to have my integrity and I have to take a chance on like knowing that, you know, it's going to destroy my my soul if I do that.
Yeah. Mm.
So she said no to that and then wrote this book, and now it's become an absolute hit. It's like a New York Times bestseller. And yeah, anyway, I highly recommend people read it, because yeah, I'm certainly going to be doing it. That.
Yeah, cool.
And she was probably my favorite character from iCarly.
Yeah.
Fuck Carly.
Whoa.
Yeah, Miranda Cosgrove. Take it back.
Sam. No, yeah. I'm Team Sam. But like, I know Miranda had, you know, probably no bad intentions or anything. But yeah. Miranda has been doing really well. That show is even back now.
Yeah.
iCarly is back. What's going on?
Yeah. So many fucking reboots going on.
That, like, so talking about like the Hogwarts thing of like whether you can do something when the creator, the original creator is awful and you're like, but I was sort of had the same thought about like sometimes when I play weddings, like playing in wedding bands, like there's a lot of, sometimes people are like, please don't play any Michael Jackson. And it's the same. And I always think about like whether or not I'm like, when we play a Michael Jackson song, there's no, we're not generating any income.
Yeah.
For, but I also completely understand why some people would be like, please don't play. But I'm always, I always think like the bottom line usually is, do they get any money from you doing this? Like, are you giving any money to someone who has done something terrible? Like, yeah. And I sort of, anyway, yeah, I was just sort of thinking
but
about
yeah,
that.
But yeah, it's so interesting, the whole Michael Jackson thing, because I got really into this podcast called, I think it's called The Telephone Diaries. And if you like investigative podcasts that are telling a story, and if you're intrigued about the Jackson family, it's really good.
Who wouldn't be intrigued by the Jackson family?
It's so like much, so much going on. Yeah. And I think there's two seasons of this podcast, and it's very well produced and goes into the trial and the trials. There were multiple with
I'm really interested.
People who were abused by Michael Jackson. And just the fact that we are now at a stage where everyone is being held accountable. Mm. And if Michael Jackson hadn't passed away by now, he would have well and truly been in the bin.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's hard because he's such a hero to so many, but also just an awful person on so many levels.
Like and our generation as well, like our age group kind of, we weren't there to see him at the peak, you know, and to have that like attachment. So I remember kind of like growing up, like it was sort of like he was in the kind of scandal period and that sort of stuff. So I don't have the same like fondness for that thing. So I guess it's easier for us to kind of look at it, you know, from afar, whereas I can get how, you know, devastating it is. Like with Harry Potter, you know, because it's something, it's like that series meant so much to me in my childhood. And then, you know, how do I make peace with that as an adult? That it's like, you know, do I just literally cut that out and I don't look back on that fondly or I don't know. It's a big question.
Totally. Mm. And it's, because like, I mean, I wouldn't be able to read if Harry Potter did. Like I never read anything. It was the first book that I actually enjoyed reading. Yeah, and it's like the sort of this holding these two things of like this story can mean something to you and the person that created it is also a piece of shit. Mm. So it's like they're not, but it is, it's like, but then some, I can't remember where I saw this or like, who said this, but just the idea as well of like the whole separating the art from the artist. And it's like that, you know, whether the artist means to or not, like their fucked up ideas will permeate into the store. Like, you know, there's lots
of... And it did. Yeah, like people have come back being like, well, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. There's a lot of this in Harry Potter. And it's like, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Mm. I can't remember if I've said this to, maybe we were talking about this before, but like I remember because I read Harry Potter like multiple times and I really loved the movies when they came out. And I remember like someone saying... Like in this sort of a thread of like pointing out all the awful things that she had kind of
inserted.
Yeah, like unintentionally or intentionally. And someone was like talking about the goblins being really anti-Semitic. And I just remember like looking at the picture of the goblin and I was like, then looking at myself in the mirror, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I don't look like that. And I understand, of course, that's not how that type of anti-Semitism works.
Yeah,
I was like,
because
it never occurred to me. I was like, then someone pointed out that I was always like, all right, hang on a second.
Yeah.
We don't look like, how quickly did you make that connection?
I'm much taller than that.
I don't like money that much.
uh,
I think we've reached our time for our pop or flop for this week.
Oh my God. Popping and flopping. We love it.
Do you want to kick us off earlier?
Yes. Okay. Well, my flop for the week is parking inspectors.
Yes.
Pop or flop?
Pop or flop? Well, they're fucking flopping. I actually saw one driving here and it instantly put me in a mood, but also I just got a ticket and it's a flop. I feel like if you...
Was this the one that you had up on your story that was about like...
My house.
Because like, you were waiting for your like council.
Yeah, I was waiting for Yarra Council. If you're listening, speed it up, hire more people. But essentially, I got a new car and needed to transfer my permit over, my street parking permit. And council websites, why are they all from like 1985?
Oh, it's a fucking labyrinth. We're doing the same thing at the moment because Josh also just got a new car and we can't park it on our street. Because like it's like got really strict parking until we get that thing. But in the meantime, we're like crammed in our driveway like barely holds like one car. And so we're like absolute bumper to bumper. Like our cars are butt fucking each other. At the
moment. Hot.
Yeah.
Exhaust to exhaust.
They're inside each other.
But yeah, it should just be simple and like, you know, you should just be able to do it online and not have to pay $100 again. But yeah, I made a new sign for my car, so
love that.
Anyways, flopping but popping soon once I have my permit.
Yeah. I also have a flop this week. I guess we were feeling negative this week.
Mercury.
My flop is Liam Payne, who has just been pissing me off online. Have you guys seen that video of Liam Payne doing some kind of like concert or like it's like a Q&A where he's just like singing on stage, but it's like in some kind of like seated environment where there's like journalists there and he's like kind of like loosely singing. And then he turns to the audience and he's like, "You sing," for a line, and no one sings anything. And it's so embarrassing and so funny. And he also had this interview where he was like, "I was the central part of One Direction and the whole band was formed around me." And I was like, whatever. Anyway, that's my flop for the week.
I can't believe people even pay to see this man.
Yeah.
It must have all been comps.
Yeah. Oh, and that TikTok of him dancing with the shitty thing that people have riffed of the Liam Payne dance makes me laugh every time. So good. Such a flop.
Please send it to me.
Yeah, I will. I'll send it to both of you. It's amazing.
I have a pop to balance out your awful negative energy.
Absolute dark like impulses.
I've most people, I've been listening to the new Lizzo album a lot. And I think I said this to you, Aurelia, when we saw each other a few weeks ago, that there's a song, I think it's track number 4,
mm-hmm.
and she just released a music video for it called To Be Loved, and it's like one of the most addictive pop songs I've heard in such a long, like I can't, it actually makes me mad because I can't stop listening.
Got a really
to,
good hook.
It's so, and it's very like, it's of course it's I think Max Martin produced quite a few songs on the album, and for anyone who doesn't know, Max Martin is like the guy that's behind all the Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, and heaps of stuff since, but he's like kind of a pop machine maker. Yeah. And it's just a real kind of throwback kind of song, and it's just really good.
How does it go? Would I know it?
Am I ready? Dun, 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 dun. Am I ready?
Ooh.
Am I ready? To... It's way better with the whole song.
I just wanted to hear you sing.
I love it. I haven't listened to the full album, but I feel like Lizzo is just having this moment. She's obviously already at like a high level of stardom, but I'm only seeing it accelerate.
Yeah, it just keeps going. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't want to sound really cliche and cheesy, and I bet Lizzo's probably sick of people saying this kind of thing about it, but like when I feel like when I was growing up, like pop music was at a much worse place than it is now. I think like one of the good things about the internet, the web, is that it's like there is a sort of a little bit more different voices in pop music that didn't really exist in like, especially I feel like the 2000s and 2010s were just like horrendous. And I feel like it's
there
kind
was
like
of five male white boy bands. That was it.
This is what you get. And I just feel like that I, as a kid, I could never have imagined that someone like Lizzo would be so famous. And it just makes me so emotional. She's so good. Yeah. And I saw a clip of her singing some stuff live and she's just not used. Yeah. And she's like, it's not track. Like there's so much stuff where people are miming and she isn't. And you can just hear how like excited she is on stage. And it just makes me so happy anyway. And that song is just so good. And I can't stop listening to it.
Yeah.
So. All right. It's time for me to listen to this album. Start to finish.
I need to, I'm gonna listen to it on the drive home. The way home for sure. I also saw this video of Lizzo watching. It was like her stitching a TikTok of this mom that was filming her daughter who would have been like 3 or something like that. And she was like a little like kind of, you know, chubby black girl who was watching a Lizzo music video and just living her life and so happy. And Lizzo was just like crying watching it. Like, you know, that was something that was never there for her.
You know.
And now she can be that for kids. Like, it's just beautiful.
It's just so good.
Yeah.
It's not just that she's like an inspiration, but she's also just so fucking talented as well. Like, funny. And so hilarious. The whole package. Yeah, anyway.
Blessed.
Yeah. Beautiful. Lizzo for president.
Absolutely. What a pop. That's the mega pop. We stand. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. This has been so lovely, Jude.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on and singing for us.
Yes.
Straight into that trap.
Yeah. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Well, I have an album out called Participation Award.
I fucking love this album. Oh. That should have been my pop, actually.
We both should have popped like one of your other albums.
Yes.
And then watch me just like do my weird dance when people I love give me a compliment. So
I stand up for myself from Participation Award is one of the most beautiful, uplifting, affirming songs. I listen to it all the fucking time. It's constantly in my like, you know how you have the like Spotify playlist that's like, this is on repeat for you right now. It's always like, yes, it's still there.
Charlie, no, thanks so much. Yeah. Well, you can get the album on all of the platforms, but also Bandcamp is always like the best play. If you ever want to support indie music artists, Bandcamp is always a good place to go.
Look up Jude Pearl right now. Or do I'm it. Gonna come to your house and just think evil thoughts.
Yeah. That sounds terrifying.
That's even worse. That's the worst thing. I'll be very disappointed with you. Yeah. Alrighty, my friends, we will see you next week.
See you next week, sluts.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.